So today we are actually going to do a question and answer. So last week on YouTube and Facebook, we posted something that said, post your questions below. So I have chosen some of your questions to answer in today's video.
Hello, students. If you're enjoying our podcast, why not watch on our YouTube channel? You can go to our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/EnglishDanny or just search in the bar for English Danny. Prefer Facebook? You can watch all our videos on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/PaperEnglish, PaperEnglish. Again, you can watch all of our videos on YouTube or Facebook.
So some of the questions will have very long answers and some just short, but we may talk about again in the future. Okay, so I see some people coming into the chat. Hi. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Hello. Thanks, guys. Hello, teacher. Hello. Good morning. Hello, hello, hello. Hi. Hi. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for your comments. Hello. So today I'm going to go as usual. Oh, thank you very much. Same to you. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. So today I'm going to, as usual, give the lesson, and then while you watch, you can ask some questions about the topic. Or if you have other English questions, maybe you did not have a chance to write your comment last week, then in the chat, leave your English question, okay? Question about English, and then we will answer some after. Okay, so let's begin. We're going to answer some of your questions today. So hang on a second, and here we go. Okay, guys, so you should be able to see my screen. So welcome to the live stream question and answer. So today, I think there are seven or eight questions I'm going to be answering. So let's go ahead and remember, please leave your questions while you listen, your English questions, okay? All right, let's take a look at this first question. Here, their question is, do you think this is grammatically correct? Our creamiest, now creamier. This was an advertisement of a coffee brand which aired on television. Is this an exception to the rules of degrees of comparison? I thought the right order would be cream, creamier, and creamiest. So this is a great question, and thank you so much, Laika, for your question. So let's take a look. So here, you're right that the normal way we compare things is we have our base adjective. So here, creamy, creamier, and creamiest, right? So we have our comparative adjective and our superlative adjective, creamiest. So I'll put a C here, comparative, S for superlative. So the coffee company saying our creamiest, now creamier, is correct. That is grammatically correct. And let's take a look at why. This means that the coffee is creamier than their creamiest product so far. Well, maybe that sounds a little confusing. So let's say I like to make coffee, and I have made many coffees, and I have my coffee I have made. It is the creamiest I have made.
Hello, students. If you're enjoying our podcast, why not watch on our YouTube channel? You can go to our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/EnglishDanny or just search in the bar for English Danny. Prefer Facebook? You can watch all our videos on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/PaperEnglish, Paper English, PaperEnglish. Again, you can watch all of our videos on YouTube or Facebook.
But then, maybe tomorrow, I find a way to make it even creamier. So this means that it is just the most so far. So our creamiest, let's underline, our creamiest, maybe let's say until now. And then they made a change, now even creamier. So we use the superlative form to talk about, yes, the most of something, but it can be the most of something until a certain point in time. We can say something is er than the ist thing. So we can say, so if we have our comparative and superlative, we can say something is more something than a superlative. And let's take a look at a few more examples. He is smarter than your smartest friend. Okay, so here, my friends, if I'm thinking about my friends, where'd my mouse go? There we are. Your smartest friend. Here we're using the superlative because it's your smartest friend in your friend group, right? So the superlative doesn't mean everyone and everything in the world. It can just mean for that situation. So your smartest friend, but he is smarter. So this person over here is smarter than your smartest friend. So yes, we can say something is more than a superlative. A superlative can be about a previous or past time, or just about one group of things. This is the most delicious pizza I have had, but I think that pasta is more delicious, right? So the group is pizza, but I think something else is even more delicious, right? So here's another one. It is hotter than the hottest chili pepper I have had. So here we're looking at something that happened in the past. Maybe in 2010, or let's say even more recent, let's say in 2020, I had the hottest chili pepper I have ever had. And then in, let's say today, I have a new chili pepper that's even hotter. I can say it's hotter than the hottest chili pepper I have had at some time before, right? It's even more than that. So the superlative has now changed. Now this pepper is the hottest pepper, right? Okay. I hope that that explanation helps. We can use er than or a comparative to say something is more than a superlative. Okay, so take a look at these examples. And if you want to try in the comments to make a comparative superlative sentence like this, go ahead and I'll see them after the lesson. Okay, next let's go to question two. So here from Vasil, please forgive me if I mispronounce your names, guys. Could you tell me about some stative verbs used in the continuous form? Understand, like, hope, consider, wish, think, and so on. Could you build up more on this topic? Thank you from the bottom of my heart, of course. And I would love to answer this question. So let's talk about stative verbs. What does that mean? And we'll look at them in the continuous form. This is a very good and kind of higher level grammar question. So stay tuned, guys, for the answer. First, let's look at the two kinds of verbs. We have dynamic verbs and stative verbs. So a dynamic verb describes things that happen within a limited time that have a clear beginning and a clear end. And these are verbs we can use in the simple form, the perfect forms like present perfect, past perfect, and the continuous or progressive forms. So these are all things that, again, clear beginning, clear end, and happen in a limited time. For example, eat, walk, and learn.
Hello, students. If you're enjoying our podcast, why not watch on our YouTube channel? You can go to our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/EnglishDanny or just search in the bar for English Danny. Prefer Facebook? You can watch all our videos on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/PaperEnglish, PaperEnglish. Again, you can watch all of our videos on YouTube or Facebook.
The other kind, and these are verbs that we're very used to, and they follow all the normal rules, but then we have something called stative verbs. So these usually have to do with the state or condition, which is unchanging, usually, a state of being. So often these have to do with our thinking, or things about thinking and our minds, or relationships between things. So these really stative have to do with a state of being. Okay, so we'll write that there. So these include things like believe and think, meaning have an opinion like I think, or disagree. So these are states and verbs of relation. So let's take a look. We cannot use stative verbs in the same way. So right, this question is about the continuous forms. Let's give it a look. So here's an example using a dynamic verb. And remember, dynamic verbs are normal, right? We can use all of these tenses. Simple, right? Simple present, simple past, and simple future. I run, I ran, I will run. Continuous forms. I am running, I was running, I will be running. Perfect forms. Present, past, and future. I have run, I had run, or I will have run. And perfect continuous. I have been running, I had been running, I will have been running. Whew. So all of these we can use with dynamic verbs. Again, like eat, walk, and play, for example. But stative verbs are a little different. And remember, these have to do with a state of being, things about our mind, words like think and know and believe. So let's take a look at this stative verb, know. So here we can use simple and perfect tenses. And these sentences are all correct. I know, I knew, I will know. I have known, I had known, I will have known. But we cannot use the continuous tenses with this verb. I am knowing? No. I have been knowing? No. So we cannot use them in quite the same way. So here, we have another example. So we've seen dynamic verbs and their correct forms, stative verbs, their correct forms, and that we can't use them with the continuous forms. And now we see a verb that kind of we can use in a few different ways, has a few different meanings. So have. Here we can use the simple form for possession, means it's mine, I own it. I have a car, I had a car, I will have a car. In the continuous form, we can use the continuous form to describe an activity like having a good time. This is kind of a phrasal verb, have a good time. That is always together. It's a phrasal verb. So we can say, I am having a good time, I was having a good time, I will be having a good time. But we cannot use the continuous form for possession, have, right? I have a car. We do not say, I am having a car, right? It's just, I have or I don't have, okay? So let's take a look. This is one of those situations in English where really this comes from practice and really being familiar. just like in a previous lesson, we talked about past participles like I have known, I have seen, I have walked. Some of those irregular ones, there's no easy way to remember them. It's just practice. So let's take a look at some little tips for which verbs are always stative, which ones are always dynamic, and so on. So here, verbs that are always stative have to do with mental states. Mental means your mind, okay? And emotional states, how you feel. So this includes, let's start with mental states, words like admire, doubt, want, know, and need. So there can be some common errors with these, like remember with stative, we cannot use the continuous forms, which is ing, right? Progressive forms. So I do not say I am knowing or I am needing or I am understanding. These are some common mistakes. We can just use their simple and perfect forms like I know John, we need some help, and I don't understand what you mean. Next, let's look at emotional states, words that we use often like love, like hate, and care. So again, we don't usually say something like I'm loving or I'm hating. Here we might say something like, remember, we don't use the continuous forms. Just simple and perfect. The kids love, she likes, and I hate.
Hello, students. If you're enjoying our podcast, why not watch on our YouTube channel? You can go to our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/EnglishDanny or just search in the bar for English Danny. Prefer Facebook? You can watch all our videos on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/PaperEnglish, PaperEnglish. Again, you can watch all of our videos on YouTube or Facebook.
Okay, a couple more that are always stative, means no continuous form, have to do with possession, which means you own something, it's yours or mine, right? Senses, like the word here, and then we have some others. So these are the verbs that we see that we do not use in the continuous forms, and it would be grammatically incorrect to do so. So as always, guys, this PowerPoint, this PPT is posted, so you can go and use this as a resource. Here we have some more, oh my gosh, some that depend on the situation. So again, we see that this can be pretty complicated and difficult, but let's look at these four verbs that we have examples for. So here they could be stative, which means not continuous forms, or dynamic, which is a normal verb like run that we can use in all of the forms. And it depends on the situation or the meaning. So let's look at think. If I'm saying I think and I'm about to talk about my opinion, this is a stative verb, which means no continuous forms, right? So if I'm asking for your opinion, like, what do you think? Well, this is stative, asking about your opinion. Or I think you should accept that job offer. That is correct. I cannot say I am thinking you should. We would say this would be grammatically correct. I think you should. Now, the dynamic verb is the act of thinking. What are you thinking about? Right? This is the action, not opinion, right? Not a noun, my opinion is, but the act of thinking. What are you thinking about? I'm thinking about what to do next. So here, the act of thinking. We also have this with have. The stative verb refers to possession. I have a car. I have a phone. And the dynamic refers to an activity, which we saw in a previous example. I'm having a party. We're having a great time, right? Those are activities. Oh, sorry, guys. My allergies. Ooh, itchy nose. So we also have this. Let's look at two more verbs, taste and the be verb. If we're talking about the state of being or a quality using taste as a quality, it tastes delicious. This is stative. I would not say it is tasting delicious. It tastes delicious. And if it's an activity, she is tasting the soup, right? So here we can see in these a theme, a quality, a thing, a state of being, a possession, or a relation. These are stative. Activities are dynamic. And last, let's look at the be verb. They are. They are being. So they are refers to a general condition or state, right? It's a state. So it's stative. They are helpful. I wouldn't say they are being helpful no matter what happens. They are helpful. It's a quality, condition, or state. They are being is a temporary, so not forever, temporary state. They are being helpful under the circumstances. They are being helpful for now at this moment. So again, this is all on the PPT, you guys. I really encourage you to look this over, and this is something we may talk about in the future. Okay, let's go on to question number 3. Let me kindly request how to write a professional email. So I'm going to give you a quick short tutorial, how to write a professional email. So you need a few things. First, you need your introduction. So we would say something like, hello, Mr. or Mrs. something, right? What's their name? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and so on. Then you have the body of your email. So first, you should state your purpose. Why are you writing the email? Let the person know right away what you are writing them about. And if it is your first time writing, you can state your name, right? I am such and such, then your purpose. So for the body, for the whole email, we want to use professional, formal, academic language. So this means don't use slang or something called colloquialisms, which is also similar to slang. So we want to use professional formal language, no slang, and also academic language. So in a professional email, we'll use some higher vocabulary. If you need help with this to develop your vocabulary, you can use a thesaurus. So this is like a dictionary that has synonyms in it, which are words that mean the same thing. Right? Synonyms, like big and large are synonyms. So you can use a thesaurus to help you if you want to make your language a little bit better. If you are asking a question, use high politeness modal verbs like would, could, and may. So that's something we talked about in a previous live stream, I think in our last Q&A, about the formality of these words. And after your body, you need a closing where you should thank the person. Thank you for your time and have a great day, have a great evening, have a great weekend, and so on. So let's take a look at an example. So in this example, I am writing to someone to apply for a job. Good morning, Mrs. Connell. Okay, so there's my polite, formal introduction. Good morning, Mrs. Connell. So in a professional email, if we do not know the person, we do not want to call them by their first name in our first email to them. Okay, we want to be respectful and polite. Okay, let's take a look at the body. My name is Sarah Rodriguez. I'm writing you to inquire about the academic coordinator position that you posted on LinkedIn. I have attached my cover letter and resume for your consideration. Please let me know if you have any questions regarding my application. Okay, so what do we see here? This is my first time writing to Mrs. Connell, so my name is. And then my purpose, why? Why am I writing this email? And remember, we want to use a little bit higher vocabulary. So here we have the word inquire. So this means ask. And I could say I'm writing to ask about, but I looked in my thesaurus, ask, oh, different words that mean ask, question, oh, inquire. Oh, that's a good one, to inquire. Often if we are submitting documents to someone, we say it in the email. I have attached, right? Attach is the word we use when we add a document to an email. I have attached, just to let the person know, maybe they don't see it. You want to make it clear. And then just a polite sign off of the body. Please let me know if you have any questions. Then our polite closer. Thank you for your time and consideration, and sign off your name. So this is a simple structure for a professional email. Remember to use academic language. You can use a thesaurus if you need to, and be very polite, okay? So maybe this is something we'll talk about more in the future. For now, let's go to question 4. Why do people write English almost perfectly while speaking? They're not as impressive. Naveen, thank you for your question. So let's go ahead and see why. This is quick to answer. Why is my writing better than my speaking? This is a problem I have had also. So why? Why is my writing better than my speaking? The reason is that reading and writing are often easier to develop in a second language. Why? Because we have more time to think about it. So when I am reading, I can look at the sentence and I have as much time as I need to think, to look it up. And the same is true for writing. So maybe when I'm writing, I can, oh, how do I say that? Pause and think, oh, okay, there we go. And maybe my writing is very good. But speaking, of course, is much faster. We have to respond right away. So it's a little bit more difficult to speak well, even if your reading and writing is pretty good. Your comprehension is pretty good, but speaking and communication is a different skill. The more you practice reading and writing, the more it will help your speaking. The more you read and are used to the structure of the language, and especially writing, the more often you write, the more that will help you in your speaking. And one trick here is to write about things that you want to speak about. If you want to work on speaking about your daily life, keep a journal. Write about your daily life. If you want to have better speaking about technology, well, then write about technology. Writing helps you develop your speaking skills. But why is writing better? Why is my writing better? Because we have more time, so it's a bit easier, okay? All right, question number 5. What is the difference between simple past and past perfect? For example, did you see the class or have you seen the class? So I'm going to switch my screen here. And we're going to pop over to a new screen. So just hang on a second, guys, while I prepare. Okay, here we go. Hold for a moment. Sorry, guys, just a little technical difficulty here. There we are. Okay, this ought to work. Okay, thank you guys for waiting. So again, the question is simple past or past perfect, and here we go. All right, so hopefully you guys can see that now. So here we have a little thing explaining the difference. So simple past is used to talk about completed and finished past events or actions. For example, I watched a film last night. This means it happened in the past and it is done. I'm not watching a movie now. It happened last night. I didn't go to school on Monday. So this is the negative form. I did not do that at that time, right? It didn't happen. And the question form, did you go surfing last week? So this is asking about a completed or finished past event. And there in those, we saw the structure. A normal sentence is subject, past simple verb, and completing the sentence. So I went to school. The negative form, subject, didn't, base form, and the rest of the sentence, I didn't go to school. And the question form, did, subject, base form, and the rest of the question, did you go to school? And again, these are all used to talk about completed past events, past things. So the past simple is verb plus ed, but don't forget about those irregular verbs like went, right? We'd say today I go, yesterday I went, no ed, right? Don't forget about those irregular verbs. Now let's look at past perfect. Past perfect is used to express the idea that something happened before another action in the past. I had seen a film. I hadn't gone to school. Gone surfing. So there we saw our structure for the past perfect. Subject, had, participle. Subject, hadn't, participle, and had, subject, participle. And remember, our participles are those words like been, seen, gone, and so on. So the past simple, the past participles are verb plus ed, walked, I had walked, unless we have an irregular verb like be changes to been. Okay, so again, this is about a timeline. We have our past perfect, then the past simple, up to now. So these are really useful for talking about something that happened before. So let's take a look. Our past perfect, Paul had gone, plus our past simple, Sarah arrived. So our sentence is, when Sarah arrived, Paul had left. So which action do you think happened first? When Sarah arrived, Paul had left. Well, here, Paul left first. Sarah arrived after Paul left. So we use that past perfect to talk about something that happened before another event in the past. When Sarah arrived, Paul had left. He was already gone. Okay, let's take a look at a few more examples to see this, that we use that past perfect to talk about events that happened before. So we'll just look at a few. So here, when we arrived to the theater, they had sold all the tickets. So again, what happened first? Did they sell all the tickets first, or did we arrive to the theater first? They sold all the tickets first. That past perfect is something that happened before. Before we got to the theater, all the tickets had sold. Let's go to number 3. I had met him before he was famous. Okay, so here, what happened first? Was he famous first, or did I meet him first? Here, I met him first. Our simple past is what happened first. Before he was famous, right? I had met him before he was famous. So he became famous after I met him. Okay, guys, and I'll leave these here for a second. And there we see the difference, the key difference between simple past and past perfect. Past perfect is used to talk about things that happened before something else very often. Okay, let's go back to our main PPT. Just a second again, guys. We're switching the screen. Okay, let's go back and answer a few more of our questions. Okay, here we go. Back to the main PPT. So here from Azmat, we have the question, what is an absolute adjective? Great question. So an absolute adjective is an adjective with a meaning that cannot be compared or intensified. They are always superlative. So we talked about superlatives before. This means like the most of something. But here, these are adjectives that are superlatives as they are. So for example, supreme, infinite, perfect, unique, and unanimous. So unanimous, let's use that as an example. Unanimous means everyone agrees. So if I am in a room of 100 people and we vote, what is better, chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? And all 100 people say chocolate ice cream, it is unanimous. This is absolute because unanimous is a superlative. It means everyone. There's no disagreeing, right? Unanimous. It cannot be more unanimous. It is only unanimous. This makes it absolute. The same is with the adjective perfect. Perfect means what? No problems. Nothing needs to change. It is perfect. Nothing can be more perfect, right? It's perfect. It is as good as it can be. Okay. And I think this is our last question today. What does at my worst mean? So here, this is a little phrase, at my worst. So at my worst, at something or someone's worst means in the most serious, undesirable, or unpleasant state. So for example, let's say I go to a restaurant and their ice machine is broken and their oven stops working. Maybe they say, oh, nothing is working right now. So I suppose you've seen us at our worst. This means everything is so bad. It is the worst, right? Worst is another superlative. Bad, worse, worst. So at my worst or at the worst means in the most bad situation. Let's say yesterday I had a really bad day and I saw my friend. Maybe I was in a very bad mood. The next day I might say, I had an awful day yesterday. I'm sorry you had to see me at my worst. I felt so bad. It was, you will never see me more bad than that. I was at my worst. Or here's our last example. She is at her worst first thing in the morning before she's had coffee. So maybe she is irritable and tired and right in a bad state. So she's at her worst first thing in the morning. So this is a pretty common phrase in English, at my worst or at someone's worst. Okay, guys, that's it for today's lesson. So I'm going to stop sharing. Let's go ahead and see if we have any questions. So I see we have some comments here. Lots of hellos and good mornings. Lolly Lolly, hello from France. So good to see you. Thank you for joining today. Let me know if you have any questions. Okay, so I'm looking through. So what is the difference between don't take it too hard and don't take it to heart? Let's see. Well, I'd say that in this situation, the correct form would be don't take it to heart. Well, actually, I suppose we could use either. So don't take it to heart. We'll start with that one. Means don't take it personally. This means, let's say I am talking to, I meet my best friend and she is having a really bad day and maybe she's kind of mean to me. Don't take it to heart means don't take it too seriously. Don't take it too seriously. It's not right. Our heart is our feelings. So don't let it hurt your feelings. Don't take it to heart. To take something hard, don't take it too hard, means a very similar meaning. It means try not to let it bother you too much. So these two have a very similar meaning. Okay, let's see if we have any other questions today. Hello, hello, hello. So I'm just looking through here. Just scrolling through your questions. Thank you all so much. I'm looking through all of your hellos. Thank you, guys. Okay. So I see a question up at 9:07 a.m. from Alyssa Marie. Is this grammatically correct, unless versus until? So let's see if we can get that on the screen. At like 9:07, Alyssa Marie, is this grammatically correct, unless versus until? I won't give you this ice cream until you do your homework. I won't give you this ice cream unless you do your homework. These two have again, similar meaning, almost the exact same meaning in the sentence. But there's a slight difference. So if I say, I won't give you this ice cream until you do your homework, this means I will give it to you after you do your homework. Do your homework first, then I'll give it to you. I won't give it to you until this thing happened. After this thing happened, I'll give it to you. I won't give you this ice cream unless you do your homework. Very similar meaning. I will only give it to you if you do your homework. If you don't do your homework, I won't give it to you. So these can be used pretty interchangeably. Okay, thank you, Alyssa. I'm not sure if we have more questions. Lots of hellos. Hi, guys. What's the difference? Thank you very much for your question. What's the difference between specially and especially? To look at this, we should think about the word special. If something is special, it is unique or different, right? So if I say something like this was specially made for you, it means that it was made special. It was made uniquely just for you. Especially is often used in a sentence where we are comparing something or using maybe a superlative. For example, I might say, I love horror movies. Oh, no, no, I don't. I don't love horror movies. I love action movies, especially Marvel movies. So this means we can use especially to say, I like something and especially or even more or really, really this one, right? I love rap music. I especially love Kendrick Lamar, right? So this is the slight difference. Especially is used a bit different. Especially we use to kind of say what is the important thing in that group? What do you like the most? Okay, I think that's it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into the chat. Thank you for asking me your questions. Thank you for watching. I hope that you guys enjoyed the answers to some of today's questions. And remember to follow us on Facebook and subscribe on our YouTube channel, which you can find the link to in the description on our Facebook channel if that's where you are. So thank you guys for watching. See you guys. See you next week.